This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we are in a series entitled Changing Your Life for the Better. Changing Your Life for the Better. And we've been talking, we said that's the whole reason Jesus came, that we might have a better life. John 10 and 10 has been our foundational text, and it teaches us that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus says, I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In the Amplified, it says to the full till it overflows. So Jesus came that we might have a better life. And so we've been saying for the past several weeks that in order to live a better life, how many know change must take place in our lives? We have to make changes. And so change is a product of human effort sustained by divine help, that when you make a move toward God, God makes a move toward you, right? And so what happens is when you're going through a situation in your life, you have to take God's word, you got it, and apply it in your life so you can get results. But along with this, there's some changes that we all need to make in life, and what we tolerate will not change. And so we have to understand that what we tolerate will not change. If you are someone who's in bad relationship after bad relationship, you got to stop and say, okay, what is going on? What is the common denominator, you know, in this, and how do I make the change? Does that make sense? And so you have to understand that change can be difficult, but it is so necessary. And so we've talked to you about transformation the first week. We talked about freedom last week. And today, I want to talk to you from the subject of being healthy on the inside. Being healthy on the inside that really has to do with our soul. Kind of even goes along a little bit with what I was talking about with our in the ministry moment. Now, let me give you a little theological background to make sure you understand who you are and how you were designed. We are tripart beings. We are spirit, soul, and body. You are spirit, you possess a soul, and you live on the inside of a physical body, all right? So your spirit man is who you are. When you close your eyes here on this earth, it is your spirit man that's going to go to heaven. Does that make sense? And so when I get saved, as the moment I invite Jesus into my heart and I get saved, automatically my spirit man is regenerated. It becomes alive to God, right? But my soulish man, it still needs some work. Have you ever heard me say before that if you come, you know, into this church and, you know, you're not saved, if you're not saved, you're a sinner, right? Like just one or the other, right? And so, you know, if you're a stingy sinner, you got it, and you come and you get saved, right, but you don't change anything, what you're going to be? Stingy saint, right? If you are a mean sinner and you come to this church and you give your life to Jesus, but you don't change anything, what are you going to be? A mean saint, right? Because what happens is we have to understand the importance of change. When we begin to understand the soulish part of who we are, there are five components of the soul. It is my mind and my will, my imagination and my emotions and my intellect that makes up the soulish part of who I am. And it has to, watch this. And so when my spirit becomes alive to Christ, watch this, there's some things that have to take place in my soulish realm, you got it, so it can get to where it needs to go to. That is why Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, and that is why, I know I'm stopping, just keep it up there, but that is why it is improper to just say, that's just the way I am. You got it? When people say that, I say, that's just the way God said you ain't supposed to be. Come on, somebody. You know, if you're somebody who can kind of be mean and be sharp with folks and that kind of thing, and you say, well, child, that's just the way I am. Well, that's just the way God said you ain't supposed to be, because that's not the fruit of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's that next word, class? How many know holiness is still right? In a culture where they say you can do what you want to do and act the way you want to, now you got pastors acting crazy. They're going to have a new YouTube out, pastors gone wild, you understand? But even in a culture like that, listen, some of y'all don't need to be looking at all that stuff. Some of y'all just need to look at me and lady, you got it? Because the Bible says we follow those who through faith and patience have inherited the promises. Come on, somebody. Yeah, and so you have to understand, and I'm not knocking anybody, I'm not judging anybody, but it is my job to make sure sure, watch this, because the Bible says I watch for your souls. I don't watch for everybody else's souls, but I watch for your souls. So it's my job to give you a balance of grace and truth. Oh, y'all remember. Okay, good. He says, so holiness is still right. Matter of fact, let's just let that come out of our mouths. You got it? Everybody say holiness is still right. Yeah. Now, holiness is not about what you wear, but it's about what's in your heart. You got it? So we need to understand that. You understand? All right. So holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's the least thing you can do because of everything that God has done for you. He says, and do not conform to this world. He says, but be ye Trent, and I talked to you about transformation a few weeks ago. He says, don't conform to this world. And even the church is conforming to the world, and we can't do that. We're not supposed to look like the world and think like the world and act like the world. And if you're doing it in the name of Jesus, stop it. You got it. Oh, that's it. I ain't coming back. You know, well then, watch this. If that gets you upset, I was never your pastor in the beginning. Does that make sense? Because it's my job to teach the infallible word of God. Does that make sense? And so you can't do what you want to do. You know, you are not your own. You have been bought with the price. Hell is real and heaven is real. Live for Jesus so you can make it to heaven. That's a good place to clap right there. Now, I love you too much to lie to you. Come on, somebody. We can't be serving God, then we up in the club drinking, smoking the reefer. Come on, somebody. Or the herb, I don't know what it is. Y'all know, I ain't never smoked it. You got it. I seen the movie, Puff Puff Gibb, but that's all I know about it. That's all I know about it. No, but we can't do that. The Bible, oh, Lord Jesus. The Bible says you are a chosen generation. Come on, somebody. You got it. You got to know who you are, and you got to know whose you are. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, and just by the way, pastor ain't seen nothing. I don't know nothing. You got, watch this. All that. Listen, I'm just spiritual. You got it. I'm just a man of prayer. I check Instagram every once in a while, and then I realize why I don't check Instagram. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so what happens is we have to understand that we have to present our bodies to God, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. He says, and do not conform to the, he says, don't take shape, watch this, of the world. Jacob told his oldest son, Reuben, you're unstable as water. Why? Because water will take shape of whatever environment you put it into. If you pour water into a round cylinder, it takes shape of the round cylinder. But if you take that water in the round cylinder and find you a square bowl and turn it in, and pour it into the square bowl, guess what happens? It takes shape until, so what happens is water immediately conforms. So he told, that's why he told Reuben, you're unstable as water. You conform to everything. And then the writer says, don't conform, but transform. Why? By the renewing of your mind. Change your thinking that you might know that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I have to make sure that I deal with the soulish part. Because, I mean, it's your soul that wants to party, hardy. Come on, somebody. You know, it's your soul that's, it's my thing. Do what I want to do. You can't tell me. No, the Holy Ghost can. Lord, you told me to say it. I'm going to blame it on you. If I don't deal with my soul, then when tough times come, I will be emotional. I will be irrational. I'll say the wrong things and end up doing the wrong things. Does that make sense? Yeah, and if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you. And what happens is it's not that he does not talking. What happens is we're not letting him be the loudest voice. Does that make sense? And then there's some things that, watch this, that God, watch this, even though he does tell us, he shouldn't have to tell us. There are some things that's just common sense. Everybody say common sense. Okay, let me just look right here. Like common sense, like if you married, like you won't mess with nobody else if you married. Common sense. Common sense. Be very sure. All right. So I will allow, watch this. and if I deal in my emotions, I will allow negative words to come out of my mouth that ultimately shape my life, all right? But if you can ever change your thinking, you'll change your life. If you can ever change your thinking, you'll change your life. You know, I live by, I haven't talked to you about this in a long time. I used to always teach you these kind of things, but I have safeguards in my life. You got it? And I live my life a certain way. You got it? I understand boundaries. Hello, somebody. And I understand that I belong to Jesus. You got it? You know, and so I understand that there's some things for me that are just non-negotiables, and that's how you have to live your life too. Does that make sense? You got it. You have to live your life. You know, there's just certain, I'm not going to get caught up in sin. You got it. You know, there's just things I'm not going to do. You got it. I pray for me. You understand? Yeah. Yeah. But in that area, you ain't got to pray. I've already made up my mind. It's just some things I'm not going to do. There's some things in your life. You just have to make up your mind. I'm not going down that road. I'm not going to do that. I ain't going to fool with him. I ain't going to fool with her. I ain't going to drop it like it's hot in front of everybody. I'm not going to do that stuff. You got it. You got it. See, y'all ain't ready for me today, but it's okay. No. No, why? Because I got to present my body a living sacrifice. I've got to renew my mind and change my way of thinking. And maybe the reason sometimes I'm sometimes up and sometimes down and sometimes almost level to the ground, hello somebody, is because the soulless man is doing this all the time instead of doing this. He says, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, but straight and narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. So I've got to understand that watch this, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. It's not right, it just seemeth right, but the writer says the end thereof are the ways of death. You got it? And so I have to do it God's way. Hold on for a second. Give the Lord a big hand praise. I'm checking. Huh? If it does it one more time, you know, if I get a handheld, I go to preaching. You know how preachers are, and so I'm trying to teach this thing out. So let's see what happens. But if it happens again, you trying to get a good shot of me, Jennifer? Okay, since I'm not teaching right now. I'm going to do it all the way right.
Right.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Get ready. No, I'm just playing. Psalms 139 and 14. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Do y'all still love me? You got to, because I'm your man of God. Whether you like it or not, I be your pastor. I be your man of God. I be your faith coach. I be your cut man, and I'm going to tell you the truth like it is, but I'm going to mix it with grace so you can handle it so you can live an amazing life. Because that's what God wants for you. He wants you to live an amazing life. It's the enemy that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So you got to understand. The enemy will entice you with things that seem pleasurable, because the writer says that sin, watch this, it can be pleasurable for a moment. It can be pleasurable, but it's not everlasting. Psalms 139 and 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. David's thinking was right because his soul was healthy. David had a relationship with God. You got it? He was a man after God's heart. He says, in the depths of who I am, I know you made me. I know I belong to you. I know I have purpose. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And so we have to understand that God wants every area of our lives to be developed. You got it. The big question is, Pastor, how do I really make my soul healthy? And how do I really make sure I'm good on the inside? Because a lot of times the reason we're not healthy on the outside is because we're not healthy on the inside. A lot of times the reason we do, crazy stuff on the outside is because we're not healthy on the inside. You got it? Or we deal with things that we went through. Remember I talked to you a little bit about when you go through a trauma, there's a behavior that the enemy wants you to attach. But you got to understand, you can go through something and not be it.
Does that make sense? So you don't have to have your head down, because the trick of the enemy is to cause you to have these behaviors that are not like God, and for you to get into your emotions and for you to consistently feel depressed or consistently feel insecure. You gotta, or try to push you to an addiction, or cause you to have low self-esteem, or cause you to have shame from a past situation or maybe a present situation that you're going through. But if you are a believer, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. You got it? And so you have to know how to take this word and apply it in your life. I believe sometimes we don't real see the real change we want to see in our lives because we are trying to change the external without changing the internal. We don't change from the outside in. How many know we change from the inside out? And so this is why we must deal with things internally, and we have to get our thinking right. We have to get our thinking right. When your soul is healthy, your thinking is right. And when the enemy presents you with something that may be enticing and might even be pleasurable, you realize, no, I'll pass. That's a, what do they say now, hard pass? That's a hard pass for me. I'm not going down that route. Watch your thoughts because they become words. Watch your words because they become actions. Watch your actions because they become habits. Watch your habits because they become your character. And then watch your character because it becomes your destiny. But it all starts with your thoughts. Proverbs 4 and 23. Let's start thinking about our thoughts. Sometimes the reason people feel insecure is just that they bought in a lie from the enemy, because he put negative thoughts in their mind. And watch this, and they received it, and they took it. And now they got to flip that thing and say, no, that's not who I am, right? Proverbs 4 and 23, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. All right, Proverbs 23 and 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart. So you have to make sure that I'm healthy on the inside, that I'm getting the soulish part of who I am right, that I'm thinking clearly, that I'm thinking properly every day. I pray, Father, I thank you that my mind is alert and I think the thoughts of God. Every day I say that the memory of the righteous is blessed in Jesus' name. Like my thoughts are right. You got it. My memory is right. You got it. I'm only going to watch this. I'm only going to make a move, watch this, off of a thought from God and not a thought from the enemy, even though I have to realize thoughts from the enemy come every day. Isn't that right? So let me help you. Have you ever, you know, we can even say years ago, might have happened last week, it don't matter, you got it? But have you ever had a crazy thought that's coming to your mind, like, oh my God, where did that come from, right? Yeah, we all have. I know we don't like to talk about it. It's not your thought. If you're not careful, you'll feel bad, like, oh, Lord, forgive me in Jesus' name. I rebuke that. Now, you need to rebuke it for sure, but it's not your thought. That is the enemy shooting that thought at you, and he wants you to accept it, right? And so the writer says, take no thought by saying. And so what happens is he shoots a thought in your head. He wants you to ponder on it long enough so it can drop to your heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. So you have to be careful with that. And so there's different mistakes that we make. I was talking to someone the other day, and I said, you have to understand, the thing about mistakes is we're all going to make mistakes in life. We just have to learn from our mistakes. If you learn from your mistake, then you overcome your mistake, and your mistake doesn't overcome you, right? And so one of the mistakes, if we're not careful, we make, and they have this in the bag, is instead of letting God define us, we let culture define who we are. And we have to really be careful with that. And I know a little bit earlier you felt, well, whoa, Pastor's kind of coming at me straight. Yeah, you know, but you have to understand that there's a devil out there. He is the god of this world, and he really wants your soul. You understand? And so you have to be vigilant, and you have to guard your heart. And so what happens is instead of letting God define us, we let culture define who we are. And so if it's a, you know, and I'm, y'all know I'm just a church boy. I don't know all that stuff out there. But if it's an influencer on Instagram, or, you know, those other things, you know, that everybody seems to be following. If you're not careful, you got to hear me, and you got to hear me right. If you're not careful, you will spend more time following those influencers and what they're doing on Instagram. And if you look through the entire week, you know, and they have screen things to tell you how long you've been on your screen, you'll say, man, I was on my screen for 18 hours and 47 minutes, but I only prayed for 10 minutes this week. And that's the unbalanced. And I'm not being mean. Y'all know that. I'm not being hard. I'm not knocking you. You understand? But I'm just trying to tell you, maybe that is the reason that our spirit man isn't as strong as we need it to be. You got it? Because I'm telling you, I know that when you spend time with God, you gain strength. When you spend time in the Word, when you get on that prayer call, you know, even you're tired. You get on at 7, you're a little tired. Man, by the time you get off, you're like, man, thank you, Jesus, I got on that call. Why? Because you gain strength when you do things from the spirit realm. You have to feed your spirit, and sometimes you have to starve your flesh. My thing is, why don't you flip that this week? Why don't you say, you know what, I'm not going to be too much on this, or I'm not going to be too much on that. Or, let me take it a little bit further. This might, you know, really mess with you. I'm not going to hang around with them. But maybe I'm going to come home, and I'm going to spend a little bit more time in the Word, and maybe spend a little bit more time with my family, and maybe spend a little bit more time with my kids. You got it. And make sure that my priorities are straight. Watch this. And I'm not going to let culture define who I am and how I dress and how I look and what I do and what I don't do. You got it? Because I understand that life is not a scorecard, and I'm not in competition with anybody. You got it. You know, why would you care about how somebody feels about you? Last time I checked, they weren't paying your bill, your light bill, your house bill. They weren't paying your gas. Come on, somebody. So why would you care about what somebody thinks about how you dress or how you drive? If they so worried about it, tell them every month the bill for the car is $742. Now, you send me $742, we can talk about it. Praise the Lord. Are y'all glad you came to church? Give the Lord a hand of praise in the house of the Lord. You got to learn how to be comfortable in your own skin. You got to learn how to march to the beat of your own drum. You can't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. For it is the power of God unto them that believe. You got to, man, you know, something happens good. You say, oh, thank you, Jesus. And if you're not careful, you say, oh, I'm sorry. No, why are you apologizing because of the goodness of God in your life? Come on, somebody. So, yeah, so I might, now if you're going to clap, give me a good clap. Don't patty cake in the house of the Lord. No, I'm marching to the beat of my own drum. So watch this. I'm not in competition with anybody, and I don't compare myself to anybody, because when Paul does that, he says we become unwise. So I'm just trying to be better than I was yesterday. Come on, somebody. All right? And so we have to make sure we don't let culture define us. The next point is, instead of letting God define us, we let our past define who we are. See, never live your life through the rearview mirrors of your past. All right, of negative words that have been spoken into your life, of negative situations that you've been through. You got it? What's in the past? Okay, let's say it again. What's in the past?
It's in the past.
Forget the past. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind me. And I'm reaching forward, right? Let me help you with something. There's a reason. How many of y'all have driver's license in the house? Okay, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. There's a reason, watch this, the rearview mirror is smaller than the windshield. You were never designed to keep looking in the rearview mirror at what was behind you. You were designed to look in the windshield to see where you're going in life. Does that make sense? Because God has an incredible future for you, and why would you keep looking in your past and worried about your past when God says, I've got a bright future for you? And that's why you have to sometime learn to leave the discomfort of your past or your present and visit your future on the canvas of your imagination of what your life is going to be like. When God made a promise to Abraham, he was Abram at the time, he says, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And Abram was trying to wrap his mind around it. He knew God was good. He knew God was great. But he's like, God, I ain't got no children. You understand what I'm saying? And really the way that works is, I got to have some, and then they have some, and then that's how I'm going to be a father. And so what happens is God said, come here. He says, come here, Abram. He says, look at the stars. And he looks up and he said, count the stars, my sanctified imagination. You got it. I was over there behind the bush in the rock just looking at what they were doing, right? And my sanctified imagination is, Abram said, Lord, that's a lot of stars to count. You got it. He said, if thou be able to number them, so shall thy seed be. And so what happens was, Abram was trying to believe what God said. So God, to help him in his belief system, gave him a visual booster of what his life was going to be like. So he says, look at the stars and count. He says, tell the stars. stars, or count the stars. If you're able to number them, so shall thy seed be. So every time from that moment forward, when God spoke to him, anytime Abram was outside and he looked at the stars, it was a visual booster that says, that's the number of my seed. Sometimes you have to leave the discomfort of your present and visit your future on the canvas of your imagination. If you have never been to Disney World and you want to go, make it the screensaver on your iPad, on your iPhone. I don't know if they do that on Androids, but you know, anyway, just make it on those kind of things, praise the Lord. Watch this. And set your mind to one day I'm going to go there. Because that's the only, you know, you have to think that it's not always going to be like this. You have to think and open your mouth that I see brighter days, and I see better days, and I see days of peace, and I see days of prosperity, and I see days when my house is paid off, and I see days when my car is paid off. And if you're careful, oh, I don't know about that. The Bible says all things are possible to him that believe. Somebody say, I believe. So don't allow your past to bleed into your present, or it'll define your future. And so you can only think, like, if you want to know how to think, Philippians 4 and 8 tells you, all right? It says, finally, my brethren, after I've said all this, you need to get this. He says, whatsoever, all right, so y'all roll with me, all right? Whatsoever things are, come on, let's try it again. Whatsoever things are, whatsoever things are, whatsoever things are, whatsoever things are, whatsoever things are. Oh, are we waiting on them? Okay, all right. I'm reading here. I guess I need to be looking up. Whatsoever things are of a. He said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I don't think on the calamity that's going on in this world. Come on, somebody. You got it? I mean, you know, because you could, the enemy wants you to spin your mind thinking, why there's so many bad things? I don't know. I know it's the devil. But I know God's got me covered. I know he's given his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. And in my way, pathway is life and not death. I know I'm making an impact for Jesus, and I have purpose. You got it? So I can't answer you about everything else that's going on. And why? Because the enemy wants you to focus on this is happening bad and that. And please turn off the news for the love of Jesus. Turn it off and open your Bible or listen to the word or come back and listen to this, you know, on this, in the week from this. This past Sunday. Why? You got to let the right things be going in if you want the right things to be coming out of you. Yeah. Amen. Oh, man, if I had time. But I'm about to get this to you before I go that route. All right. Let me show you a scripture that could surprise you, all right? Do you know who you are? You are the apple of his eye. You are the object of his affection. You are God's favored child. You know, some of y'all like to say favorite, and you can throw that in there too, but you are God's favored, F-A-V-O-R-E-D, child, all right? You are extremely valuable, regardless of what you went through, regardless of how you feel about yourself. Does that make sense? People, they kind of get the scripture wrong, Romans 12 and 3. A lot of times when we say, don't think of ourselves, the Bible says don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. And if we're not careful, we think we're not supposed to think high of ourselves. And I feel like, Jesus, you don't know the scripture nor the power of God. Because when you understand the scripture, let me read it. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. But see, Pastor says don't think of yourself highly. That's where people get messed up. I read it again. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. See, Pastor says you ain't supposed to think highly of yourself. And we miss the scripture. But rather think of yourself so with sober judgment in accordance, oh, you got to get this, with the faith God has distributed to each of you. All right? The word highly in the Greek is a hyperproneo. It is an improper view, a bad assessment out of your mind. The word sober is sophroneo, having the right mind. Everybody say, catch this. So God is saying, I don't want you to have an improper view of who you are. Yes, you're supposed to think highly of yourself, just not more highly than you ought to till it's getting over in the realm of pride and arrogance, all right? But let me keep going. God is saying, I don't want you to have an improper view, but be clear in your thoughts about who you are based on how I created you to be. You've been made in his image. You've been made in his likeness. You got it. He's given you authority. He's given you dominion. You've been built to last. So when you think of yourself, that's the way you're supposed to think of yourself. And the world will tell you that's more holy than you ought to. But see, that's why you have to understand what the word of God says. That's not more holy than you ought to. So when you go through stuff, you say, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to go through this. I'm a child of God. People say, oh, that's pride. No, I'm not thinking more holy than I ought to. I'm thinking who I am with the clear thought based on who I was created to be. Does that make sense? Man, I'm teaching good up in this house. You'll never be right until you can see right. And you'll never see right until you can think right. I'm going to say it one more time, Maestro. Let's go home. You'll never be right until you can see right. And you'll never see right until you can think right. And so the whole thing about being healthy on the inside and getting the component of my soul to work the right way is that if my soul is healthy, I'll think right. And if I'll think right, I'll see right. All right. Everybody say, if you had time. If I had time, I would tell you how to show you how to overcome some things like insecurities and, you know, things like that. I've got another 3 little points. I'm going to give them to you real quick so we can go home. Are you glad you came to church today? Amen. Number one, I would, if you're going to overcome some of these things like insecurity and inferiority and, you know, the need for validation, those kind of things. Number one, the first thing you have to do is see God correctly. How do I see God correctly? Psalms 59 and 10, the first part of that in the Living Bible says, my God is changeless in his love for me. See God correctly as it relates to how he sees you. See, Pastor, you done messed me up. See, in the beginning, you was fussing at me for being in the club. Now you're saying God loves me like I am. Like you confusing me. What did I tell you the first week? He loves you as you are, but I didn't stop there. But he loves you too much to leave you that way. So yeah, of course God loves you, right? So his love is chainless. Number two, see myself the way God sees me. So number one, I see how God sees me. So now number two, I need to start seeing myself the way God sees me. 1 Peter 2:9, you are chosen people. It means you are royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. In the KJV, it says you're peculiar. It means that you've been bought with a price, an amazing, precious price. He said, you are God's special possession. See, sometimes you got to go around. You need to just put some reminders in your phone that'll go off every hour. And when you read it, it's not pick up milk at the store. You need those too. But you need, and just says, I am God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And then number three, my last one, get around people who see me the way God sees me. So I got to see God correctly, right? And then I've got to see myself the way God sees me. And then I've got to get around people who see me the way God sees me. That's why I tell people, the church you go to and the word you hear makes a difference. That's not a competitive statement. I'm not saying we're better than anybody. That's not what that. I'm just saying being in an environment, you need to go to a church that's going to teach you the word. I've given you, what, about 17 scriptures? Sometimes you don't even realize it because Pastor just flows with them, right? But being in an environment of faith around people of faith will help produce your faith so you can get the victory, not in some areas, but in every area of your life. And it's the will of God for you to get the victory in every area of your life. And it's possible. It's possible. I live a life of freedom. I do. I live a life of freedom. I'm not bound by anything. And if you're not careful, because, oh, he's just saying that, you know, you got to be careful because you just never know. People try to make themselves to be so perfect. No, I told you I got issues. You got it. I got it. I don't understand. No, I ain't going to mess with Fonz this morning. But anyways, I'm going to talk to him at the service. But anyways, I got issues. You got it. And so I have to work through my issues. But you got issues. All God's children got issues. If you don't think you have an issue, that's your issue. Right? But even though I have issues, my issues are not caught up where I'm bound by addictions and I'm bound by, does that make sense? Yeah. My issues, you can look and say, Pastor Shoulder love lines. He got issues. But he loved the Lord and he's living for Jesus. I always tell you in closing that, and don't go anywhere yet, I always tell you that that you're most transparent. That you're most effective when you're most transparent. And some of you in here today, God wants to set you free. And if you're not careful, you can be in something for so long that you think that being free is not possible. Years ago, I told you, and when I told you this, some people told me, Pastor, like, I don't know if you should have really shared that because, you know, people look at you a certain way, and when you say that, I don't care about all that. And so years ago, everybody say years ago, 1995 is when I went into the military, go through boot camp, go through my training, then I get into my room, my barracks at Camp Lejeune, and then some of my roommate had brought some friends over, and they were all excited. They, you know, back in those days, we had VCRs. I don't know if y'all know what VCRs are. And so they said they was going to watch a flick. I didn't know what a flick was. Like, I'm sheltered pretty much. You understand what I'm saying? Grew up in a Christian home. You know, I didn't do bad things for two reasons. You got it? Number one, let's actually just forget two reasons. Let's just give you the biggest reason. Because I wasn't really worried about God killing me. I figured my father was going to kill me before God got to me. Yeah, so I didn't mess up. You got it? You know, I've had opportunities to do wrong. You got it, you know, and, you know, you see some of y'all, ain't far enough to share your story, how you were on your way to do wrong, but thank God he stopped you and turned you around and you went back in the other direction, but we ain't going to talk about that. And so, you know, so I realized it was pornography, and, you know, instead of leaving, I started watching it, not realizing that the enemy has a way of grabbing a hold of you. And so, when I left, I still saw those images, and emotions came with those images, right? And so I went through this whole process. You know, I remember calling my dad and telling him, but not telling him exactly what it was. I wanted him to help me, but I, you know, and my dad, pretty smart guy, you understand? And so, and he was so loving, and I mean, just so. Son, you need to make sure you're doing this and you're doing this and doing those kind of things. And, you know, I would confess the word of God over my life. You know, I was going to Pastor Taylor's church, and he was teaching us confession and those kind of things, right? And so, because truth be told, when my roommate would leave, I would really want to get his VCR out and get those tapes out and look at them again, because I liked what I saw. And I struggled with that, man. I struggled with that for months. But I kept making this confession that I was free from it. I kept declaring the word of God over my life. I would find scriptures on freedom, and I would declare my freedom. You got it? Watch this. And I'm not going to lie to you. It wasn't overnight, but over time. I'm there, and I'm like, oh, that don't bother me no more. Why? Because what I said finally became so. I kept saying I'm free. I kept saying I'm free. I kept saying I'm free. You got? And if you keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, it'll show up in your life. And so people say, well, you know, Pastor, I don't think you should tell everybody that, because you know how people are. Child, sit, girl, he ain't all the way free. Get lady in the room by herself, find out what's really going on. And that's why we won't share our stories, because we're afraid what the naysayers say. But let every man and every devil be a lie, and let God be true. That it doesn't bother me because I know I'm free. Have you ever seen it says, oh, absolutely, yeah, I've seen it. Does it bother? Absolutely not, because you have to understand there is a real freedom in Christ. That you could be going through something right now that you can't seem to shake, but if you just get on the right road and make it up in your mind that you want to shake it and get you an accountability partner, somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost. Not your girlfriend that if you fall against, oh, girl, it's okay. God love you the way. No, I need somebody full of the Holy Ghost to walk me through this so I can get free and I can stay free. And so the reason, and I'm not trying to be funny, you know, I had to learn this over time, but the reason why I don't care what people think about me is because I'm free. And you have to get to the point in your life where you can be free. Because some of you in this room are doing some of the things that I talked about earlier, stepping out on the marriage. Or maybe you're not married, but you're having sex. That's called fornication. It's not God's will. Maybe you're caught up in drugs, and I'm not knocking you. Please understand, I'm not trying to do that. Not at all. I love you. But what happens is if I don't call it out when I feel God telling me to call it out, then I got to answer to God why I didn't call it out. Because God told me there's going to be some people here today that he was going to set free. That's what God told me. And so this is it. God wants you free. And this is where, let me help you. We're going to pray in a minute. And it starts with you wanting to be free and making the decision that today starts my days of freedom. Today is the first day of the rest of my life that I'm free. And you got to make up, I'm not doing that no more. I'm not going to his house no more. I'm not meeting over there no more. I'm not texting you back no more. I'm going to block you from DMing me. I know it's quiet. It's okay. And when God sets you free, let me help you, stay free. Because this is what happens. This is what happens. When God sets you free, right, here comes the enemy to try to bring that same thing back to you. That's why the writer says, and be not entangled again. You got it? With that yoke. Heads bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying. I know a few people have to move, but please do not move if you do not need to move. Because the Spirit of God is in this place and he wants to set some people free. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building, I'm going to do something I don't normally do. And don't worry, I'm not going to cause you to come to the front. So don't get in fear. But I know there are several in you that need to walk in freedom. And I believe that today, every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking, nobody peeking. But I believe that God wants to set you free today. But you have to make the choice that you want to be free. And I want to pray for you. I'm like I said, I'm not going to have you come, you know, up here because I don't want to try to embarrass you. And the same prayer I pray here is the same prayer I pray if you walk up. It works the same way. But I want to know who I'm praying for on today because I know what God told me. And so if you're in the room, and I don't care what it's from, and I'm not going to ask you no questions, I'm not going to make you stand up, and I'm not going to call you out. I'm literally going to ask you all to put your hands up, and then you're going to put your hands down. But if you say, Pastor, you're talking to me. And today, I am making the choice to walk in freedom. And it could be sin. It could be insecurity. It could be depression. It could be whatever. It didn't necessarily have to be sin. But I just know that God says today is your day of freedom. So you say, Pastor, when you pray and you begin to declare some things in a few minutes, I want you to know that I'm in agreement with you because today is the day that I'm declaring my freedom. If that's you, just slip up your hand. If that's you, I see your hand. I see yours and 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 yours. Put your hands down. Thank you, Father. I bind the hand of the enemy and everything that's not like God that tries to come and attack these people of God, these children of God. Satan, the Lord, rebuke you right now at the authority of the name of Jesus. Pastor, what's that? If you're new to our ministry, we are a spirit-filled ministry, and because we're spirit-filled doesn't mean we're crazy. It just means that we have a prayer language that normally we use in our quiet time, but there's times when I'm up here and the Lord is trying to speak to me, and I begin to pray in that heavy language, and it gives me the exact right thing to say. And it's the will of God that every believer be filled with the Spirit because it empowers you and it strengthens you to live God's way and to pray his perfect will for your life. So, Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that those that have raised their hand, and maybe those that didn't raise their hand, but they fall under this, that we declare that in the name of Jesus, today is their day of freedom. We declare as of today, chains are broken off their lives in the name of Jesus. We declare yokes are destroyed in the name of Jesus. Father, because they made the decision, because they uplifted their hand, they took that step of faith. They have made a move toward you, and now, Father, I thank you, you're making a move toward them. I thank you, Father, that your super is getting all on their natural in the name of Jesus. I declare as of today that their mind is alert and they are thinking the thoughts of God. I declare in the name of Jesus, Father, that you are leading them and you are guiding them. I declare in the name of Jesus, Father, that your voice is the loudest voice in their life and they listen to your voice only and a stranger's voice they will not listen to. I declare that the next time the enemy tries to rise up and say, let's go do this and let's go do that, they'll realize that there's an anointing on them that they have the ability to say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going down that anymore. I am free. Jesus' name. And I want you every day to declare your freedom. And when you're driving down the road, I'm free. If the enemy brings up a thought, I'm free. When you wake up and you start saying your prayer, good morning, thank you for waking me up. Father, I thank you that I'm free. I mean, I want you to declare your freedom day in and day. It doesn't take but a millisecond to say, I am free. I want you to say it 10 times a day, 20 times a day, 30 times a day. And watch, and as you say it, you're going to be walking in it. Because freedom belongs to you right now. In Jesus' name. I want everyone to pray this prayer behind me. I want you to pray this prayer after me. Maybe you don't know Jesus. It's a good prayer to pray because this is the prayer that will get you saved. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you're a Christian that needs to repent. Maybe you don't fall under any of those categories. I want you to pray it because it's going to help the person next to you that needs to pray this prayer. Repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, and from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it now to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise in the room?